thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, just me, Wally. Will T and Ray are out. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T, but before I get into that, you know, RIP Nipsey Hussle. I'm not going to lie, like, I didn't listen to dude's music, but I did my research in terms of what he did in the community, in terms of, you know, him being from Crenshaw and whatnot, and what he did for our community and whatnot. So it's always sad to have a dude, you know, who lost his life at such a young age. I end up knowing about dude initially back in the day where, not for his music, because I had the biggest crush on Lauren London. But again, man, RIP, Nipsey Hussle, and also to, you know, to the family, and to Lauren London, in terms of, you know, our prayers are with all of them. But Will T would normally say this. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here are our topics. Lex Diamond from Heritage Sports Radio Network will join me to talk about the Washington Wizards firing Ernie Grunfeld as president of the organization. At 8:20, I'll tell you why the Washington Nationals are a better team without Bryce Harper. At 8:30, founder of Nuts and Bolts Sports, Joe Cardozo, will join me to talk about the Virginia Cavaliers making it to the Final Four. Finally, at 8:40, Adam from Burgundy and Gold Report will join me to talk about if the Washington Redskins are better off trading their first round pick for Josh Rosen or just drafting a quarterback with that pick. But first, right now, I have my man Lex Diamond from Heritage Sports Radio Network. What's going on, Lex?
Hey, man, listen, I'm trying to figure out what's really going on in Washington. I think yesterday was April Fool's Day, and I'm thanking God that we did not hear an announcement about Ernie Grunfeld on yesterday.
Hey, I heard it. No, actually, real talk. I heard it was something on Twitter that said Ernie Grunfeld was fired yesterday. But I said April Fool's. I just assumed it was a joke.
Well, thank God he didn't do it yesterday. Nobody would have believed it.
Look, man, I'm telling you, I saw it yesterday. That's what I'm telling you. I saw it yesterday. I still, it wasn't, but I thought it was an April Fool's joke. I was like, somebody got y'all. April Fool's. If you ever check my Twitter timeline, I posted that tweet that I saw, and I was like, I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought, you know, April Fool's, and then today I was like, oh, snap, this crap is true? Like, this dude getting fired?
Man, listen, it is really a situation that it's kind of a mixed bag, because I don't think everything that Ernie has done has been bad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he went to the playoffs 8 out of the 16 years that he was, I guess, running the show here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time when it just felt like we needed a change,
yeah,
because it became more of a mundane situation where the Wizards were just average,
mm-hmm,
you know, or like they used to be.
Yeah.
They were just a 500 team. And yeah, they won more than 500 games most of the time, but if you kind of go back and look at the way they were playing the last few years, they played to the level of the competition.
Yeah.
So if they played a bad team, they played bad.
Mm-hmm.
If they played the Warriors, you know, they played up. So it's really a situation where, you know, he's responsible for the players, he's responsible for the coaches, and, you know, I think his owner, Stanley Hutchins, was just like, it's time to make a change.
Yeah, I mean, so Lex, you know, you've covered this team for a while now. Your thoughts in terms of Ernie? I mean, you said you thought Ernie did a decent job, but not a horrible job. But why do you think that Ted Leonsis came to that decision?
Say that again.
I'm sorry. You've covered this team for a minute. I've seen you at the Wizards games. But why do you think Ted Leonsis, the owner, came with the decision to fire Ernie Grunfeld as president?
I just think it was a situation where, you know, they just won a championship with the Capitals.
Okay.
And you kind of think about the Wizards being in the middle of everything. You've got the Redskins, and you got the Capitals now, and then you had the Nationals a perennial playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the Washington Wizards who, you know, I think sentimentally people just felt like this team wasn't doing anything. And it really didn't improve. They made moves this offseason, and it didn't pan out. I mean, Dwight Howard didn't play a game worth talking about. And John Wall, again, has been injured, you know. And for him being out for two, literally, John Wall has missed many, many games. And this injury in particular is going to keep him out for two seasons.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the direction, in my opinion, I don't think they really had a plan for this team. I said at the beginning of the year when they started the season slow,
mm-hmm.
I mean, when they were losing like the first 10, 15 games and they were below, you know, below 500, yeah. I just felt like at that moment that now that LeBron James was gone out of the East and the Wizards team didn't step up to be one of the elite top three or four, I just felt like it was at that moment you could see coming on the horizon. You saw what was happening in college basketball, and it just felt like this should have been a year then that we should have just kind of blew it up
mm-hmm.
and just kind of hoped for the next generation of young talent that's coming into the league this season. And I just felt like when you see the growth of Philly and what they did and how they made moves and improved their team, and you can see that they're one of the top two teams in the East, and you can see Boston is right there. You can see Toronto made a move, got Kawhi Leonard, and now they're in the mix. And then the fact that Indiana lost their player, you know, their young guy, and they were still able to compete in the playoffs. I just felt like Washington, they were spending too much money and not getting anything on the court. And honestly, they should have blew this team up at the beginning of the year because they would have a better shot at getting Zion or Barrett or Cam Reddish or the kid out of what's the other kid that can jump out the gym?
Murray State. Yeah.
Murray State,
yeah.
Murray, yes. They had a better shot at getting one of those top four guys to kind of go with this team, and I think it would have been a much better fix than kind of, you know, trying to fight for the last spot in the playoffs
mm-hmm.
only to fall short. And now we'll have to get, the 9th, 10th, or 11th pick and hope that the balls bounce and give them a lucky bounce and give them one of the top three picks. But we know that's not going to happen.
You know what? I'm going to get to that Murray State kid because I have an interesting idea about that. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. I have Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network with me on the line. Who or what kind of president or GM should this team go after since they fired, you know, Ernie?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question I think that everybody's kind of like trying to figure out. I mean, Chauncey Bill's name kind of came up last year as a potential candidate. And, you know, there's a guy named David Griffin that's sitting out there.
Yeah.
Just sitting out there in TV land talking mm-hmm. basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a pretty good job, I think, in drafting players when he was, Oklahoma City?
Cleveland.
And then Cleveland?
In Cleveland.
I mean, there are guys out there that are available. And I just think that, you know, we just have to be smart and figure out the best option for us and somebody that can figure out what to do with John Wall. And John Wall's contract. I mean, I think we're looking at the second coming of Carmelo Anthony with John Wall. I hate to say it like that.
It's sad.
But I really think we are approaching, you know, that Carmelo situation where people were buying him out.
Yeah.
I mean, he got bought out like three times.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo did. So I think John Wall, as great as he's been for the Wizards, I think his time in Washington is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whoever can figure out how to get him out of D.C. and that balloon contract would be in the best interest of this organization.
It's funny. I mean, I might as well talk about it now. I think this team has with the lottery, and you know, they haven't won that many games. You know, there's a bunch of Western Conference teams that are better than them. You know, they're in that Eastern Conference bracket in terms of where, you know, they can, you know, fall left or right, especially if they don't win any more games. To this point, I don't know why they tried to beat the Denver Nuggets a couple nights ago. I think that was ridiculous. But they have an opportunity if things go their way, not to say they can, you know, get the top three, you know, top the top two, one of the top two picks. But I mean, regardless of what people may, you know, you never know what happens after the like NBA, after NBA workouts or whatnot. But I'm coming to this idea like that. If I want to see whoever is in power, if say Ja Morant from Murray State, because that's the guy I'm really impressed with. I think he's like the best college kid, the best prospect coming out of college. That's just my opinion in terms of his basketball IQ and his skill set. If he's available, right? And there's a Cam Reddish, you know, you can still get a Cam Reddish. You can get an Andre Bird. RJ Bird, excuse me, RJ Bird. Would the Wizards think about getting a Ja Morant knowing they have John Wall? You know what I mean? Like, will that general manager make the ballsy move and say, you know what, this kid's the future. Let me get this kid and let's see what we can do in terms of maybe trying to trade John Wall after that season, after next season when he's officially healthy.
Well, I'm going to say this. If the Wizards are lucky enough to get him, then that's a miracle because he's projected to be a top three player.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, right now when you look at the bottom three, you got Phoenix, you got Chicago, and you got the world-famous New York Knicks.
Yeah.
We all know Zion is the first player going to be taken. And,
of course.
And if the Knicks have their way, you know, hopefully Zion will be in their in their bag.
Mm-hmm.
To go with the two free agents that, you know, many believe will be in New York next year, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
So the Knicks will be back, and then Washington will be looking in as the team out because I don't see them picking in the three spots. I'm just speaking as a pessimist, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see Washington picking in the three spots, and they didn't act like they were going to pick in the three spot because they kept trying to make the playoffs
exactly.
with the team that they had.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was tanking, but Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, that comes down from the top. Like the general manager, I mean, at some point you got to say, I'm going to sit my players and we're going to lose some games because it seemed like all the other general managers got that memo.
Of course.
From their owners.
Of course.
But for some odd reason, the Wizards' own general manager, he didn't read that memo. He let his guys
try to
go out there and act like they wanted to win games.
Yeah, which is
like, yeah, why?
It's ridiculous. It was ridiculous. But when you look at, and I don't get it either. I mean, what are you accomplishing? And even if you get to the postseason as the eighth seed, you're going to be eliminated in the first round anyway. You're not beating Milwaukee or Toronto or whoever, or even Milwaukee or Toronto. You weren't able to beat those teams anyway, so why even try? I'm totally with you. So speaking of, and also we got a comment from a man on Facebook, George. He posted that Cavs former GM David Griffin should replace Ernie Grunfeld. The same thing that you said, basically. So what does this mean for head coach Scott Brooks? He's been maligned this season in terms of how he's coached this team up. But with Ernie gone, do you think that he's next?
Honestly, he hasn't done anything with the players that have been available. The Wizards had players John Wall was healthy. Had Otto Porter. They had it between Morris. I mean, they had players. The team was constructed, I thought, a playoff contender.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, LeBron was in the division, so it was a little bit harder. However, they still should have been one of the top three teams in the Eastern Conference. I think they underachieved many times. Yeah, they kind of played, strong this season at the end, but mm-hmm. We didn't need the Wizards to play strong at the end. This was a year that, again, they were supposed to take the other team. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
You saw the Lakers had LeBron James.
Yeah.
And when they felt like they didn't have a shot, they blew the whole thing up and just said, we're going to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just
they started sitting players.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, I just think Washington's plan of action for this particular rookie crop that's coming out, I think this was the year that you should have allowed Fields, Refs, and some of these other guys and just tried, to play some of the younger guys. And if you lost the games, don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
Because now you have a better shot at a guy like Zion, a guy like Barrett, who I think, honestly, Barrett is better than people think.
Oh, he's way better than what people
honestly,
think. Way better than what
Barrett,
I agree with you.
Deal.
I agree with you. He's way better than what people think. It's funny because I was, you know, I'm always on Twitter, and Gilbert Arenas, there was this Gilbert Arenas video, and he was breaking down Zion. And, you know, I love Zion, so I don't want anybody to think I'm hating on Zion. I love Zion. But Gil was saying that, you know, in college, if you, like, break down the way Zion scores buckets, they're not really conducive to the NBA game in terms of how it compares out. You know, Zion getting dunks off breaks, getting, you know, bully ball post-ups. He was saying that you don't – in the NBA, without a patent post-up move, he was saying the NBA, that doesn't fly. It works in college because, you know, you're stronger than everybody, you're more athletic than everybody. But in the NBA, you're going to have grown-ass men. You're going to play against skilled people, great defenders. You're not just going to get buckets off fast breaks. If that was the case, LeBron would be all world, right, even when he was younger. So he was saying that – what Gil was saying is that he needs to refine his basketball game because he said he has all the ability in terms of athleticism and build, but he's going to have to come up with some offensive moves. I want to know your opinion about that.
I think he's definitely going to be a showstopper in the NBA. I think the issue, I think with him at some point, I think injuries are going to play a part with him. I think as we saw early, there will probably be some ankle issues. Uh-huh. And then the fact that he's as large as he is, and the fact that he jumps so high, I think at some point he is going to have some back issues. Mm. The way Larry Johnson and Chris Webber, you know, had those issues, you know, at the latter part of their careers. So I think the kid is going to come in and he's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be tough. He's going to be a tough out for anybody. Because he's aggressive, he wants to play basketball. It's nothing passive about him. You know, that's the knock, I think, on the kid in Minnesota.
Andrew Wiggins. Oh, okay.
Andrew Wiggins. The knock on Andrew Wiggins is that he's passive. There's nothing passive about Mount Zion. That's probably going to be the name of his shoe, Mount Zion.
Oh, easily, man. But, come on now. We know this.
Yeah, so there's nothing passive about him. He's very aggressive. He's gonna get rebounds. And I just hope wherever he goes, if it's New York or if it's Phoenix, that they schedule Golden State Warriors versus whoever he's playing first. Because I can't wait to see him and Draymond.
I knew you were going to say that. I can't wait.
Head to head. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Two dark-skinned really brothers going at it.
Yeah, I know Draymond's going to be able to stop him. Because he can do that spin move, and that is really that's his patent move, spin move down low.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to dunk. He's like Sean Kemp. So yeah, he doesn't have any plays designed for him.
Yeah.
But if you have a really good point guard on the team that can get him the ball, oh, he's going to do great in space.
No, I love it. But hey, Lex, before I let you go, let our listeners know how they can catch you on the social side of things and also what you got going on.
Man, listen, we've been doing a little promo tour for Trez Falsetto. Now that college basketball season is officially over for some of us announcers. You know, so we've been doing the promo for him, R&B singer. And we've been just kind of going around the country, went to Florida, Tampa, Florida. Of course, he came to D.C., did some North Carolina, headed to Atlanta. So just kind of just moving around. But you can find me, Lex Diamonds, without the A, LexDiamonds, on all social media platforms. And I'm probably talking about politics on Twitter and who knows, anything hip-hop. You know, rest in peace to a really great man.
Nipsey.
He's a great rapper.
Nipsey.
That's all I got to say.
Nipsey.
Great rapper.
I know.
Great rapper.
I feel you, my man. Hey, man.
And a sad, sad ending.
Very sad.
Him.
Very sad. But hey, Lex, man, I appreciate you, my man. Hope to have you on for like our Redskins stuff. You know how we do it.
Hey, man, listen. This Redskins offseason is going to get interesting because if we don't get that quarterback from Arizona, man, I don't know what.
Look, man, I'm going to talk about that later. But, yeah, that needs to happen. But, hey, thanks, Lex. Appreciate you, man.
All right, we'll talk later.
We'll talk later.
Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Again, that's my man, Lex Diamonds from Heritage Sports Radio Network. Make sure you check him out. Great dude. He always doing good work. But I'm going to tell you why the Nationals are a better team without Bryce Harper after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Welcome back. come back.
Oh, yeah, man, how you doing?
Come on, you good? Come on. I know you like that.
Yeah,
come back. I know you like that.
How long you been back?
Welcome back. I see the girls in the club, they're getting wild for me. And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. World debut, I know they gon' fiend.
Everything. Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm your host Wally. Will T and Ray are out, but you know who we have to welcome back? Bryce Harper, man. But you know who welcomed him back correctly? Matt Scherzer struck him out in his first at bat. Bryce Harper's first time back in the city in the DMV, and Scherzer delivers a strikeout to him. Amazing. Let me read this tweet from my man George. He was talking about our last segment about Ernie Grunfeld and the Washington Wizards. Said, remember Urban Sports Scene? I mean, at Mr. George on Twitter, excuse me. Remember Urban Sports Scene 1 year ago? Taliontis gave Ernie Grunfeld a contract extension and hit from the fans. I think the fans showed that they wouldn't tolerate, and Leontis had to act. I agree. Obviously, Ted had to act. He had to act because Ernie just wasn't doing the job right. Also, George tweeted, given John Wall's situation with his Achilles injury, if they get John Morant at 2 or 3, then they have to do it. I agree. Again, John Morant is special. As much as I love John Wall, everybody should know this. I am a John Wall fan, but that kid, John Morant, is the truth. And as a point guard, I think he's better than John Wall. I'm not going to lie to you. I just think that in terms of his basketball IQ, he has John Wall beat. And it hurts me to say that. It hurts me to say that. It really does. But let me get to Bryce Harper and the Washington Nationals and the series with the Philadelphia Phillies. Right now, the Phillies are up 1-0 on the Washington Nationals. The Washington Nationals are 1-2 before today's game. They're 1-2 right now, losing 2 out of 3 to the Mets. Bryce Harper hit 2 home runs in a series against the Braves. The Phillies are 3-0, sweeping the Braves. Right now, the Nationals, like I mentioned, they're playing the Phillies, and they're down 1-0. This is my thing. Even though the Nationals are, you know, 1-2 right now in the season, a lot of people are panicking. But I still think they are a better team and a real championship contender. The Nationals losing to the Mets shouldn't be a slight. I mean, the Mets have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. I mean, they're throwing out Wheeler. They throw out DeGrom, they're throwing out Cinderbaum, Thor. I know I'm messing his name up, Thor. I'm gonna call him Thor. I mean, throwing out guys with heat. Like, I watched that game and I was like, does everybody in their pitching staff throw 97 plus? It was amazing. So when you're looking at what Bryce Harper did with the Phillies in the Atlanta series, he had 2 home runs. I'm looking at the kid for the Nationals, and Victor Robles. He's hitting 455. Hit a home run in that series against the Mets. He's a guy that potentially can give you 20 home runs and steal 30 bases. As great as Bryce Harper is, and again, Bryce Harper is great in terms of an offensive weapon, but he goes in one of them slumps, like he's dead to you in terms of as a baseball player. But Victor Robles, what he brings to the table, and what I like about Victor Robles is that if he goes on a slump, he's able to steal bases, right? He's a good defender, you know. Now, we're going to look at him in that series with the Mets, and he had, like, base-running blunders, right? Getting picked off and whatnot. But at the same time, you have to look at that and say, he's a young guy. That's going to get better. But in terms of his skill set, it's off the chain. He's not a 5-tool prospect for no reason. Like, this dude is potentially going to be one of the better baseball players in all of MLB. I look at him as a guy that this season is going to be his breakout season. We looked at it, Juan Soto last year, what he did for the Nationals last year. Look at, like, Victor Robles. This could be his breakout season. I expect this dude to be better than Bryce Harper. I won't even lie to you. I expect him to be better than Bryce Harper. And I'm gonna give you a guarantee. I don't do this often. And I'm not even a Nationals fan. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a Baltimore Orioles fan. And, like, we suck. But at the same time, we're 3-1. But I have the Nationals going to the World Series. And I'm not a Nationals fan. Like, understand this. I have the Washington Nationals going to the World Series. George, my man, who tweets us, hits us up on Facebook. Always, you know, when I talk about the Orioles, I'll be like, Manny Machado's better than Bryce Harper. He would argue with me and say, like, you know, Bryce is better than Manny. And we go back and forth. So, you know, obviously, I'm biased with my Orioles. You know, I'm always been biased with my Orioles. But I'm going to tell you this right now. That I like what the Nationals are doing. Regardless of their 1-2, you know, people panic too much. Like, it's the beginning of the season. They played the Mets. The Mets started off great last season, and they tailed off. Like, but this Nationals team has consistency. Like, look at the pitching staff they have with Corbin, Strasburg, Scherzer. Like, they're going to dominate. You know, the problem is going to be the bullpen. But, again, they didn't lose those games against the Mets because of bad pitching or bad offense. They lost that game. They lost the series with the Mets because the bullpen sucked. Bryce Harper wasn't going to make that bullpen better. Bryce is an offensive weapon. Some would say a defensive liability at times. But he's not going to help this team the way they need to be helped. They need to be helped in the bullpen. So I just want folks to know, like, who are panicking and saying, well, the Nats are 1-2 and the Phillies are 3-0. Well, they're 1-2 because the bullpen's some garbage. All right, so hit us up on our Facebook page or hit us up on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene. The question is, do you think the Nationals are a better team without Harper? My man George posted on Facebook, not right now, because once again, the bullpen is no good and they make the same silly mistakes on the base paths that they always have. Martinez better be on the hot seat. I've said that before. I thought that Dusty got fired. I thought he was the better coach. He's the better manager. Excuse me. Dusty was the better manager. Dusty should be managing this team. Martinez is still green in the game. And this Nationals team is super talented. Like, they should have made the postseason last year, but they didn't. And to me, that's mostly on Davey Martinez. Say what you want. I think that's mostly on Davey Martinez. On Twitter, JB Raj tweeted, talent and skill wise, no. If it is impossible, the more better bats you have, the better your team is. Now, if you want to go into a contractually, excuse me, and if re-signing him would have hampered what the team could do as far as the rest of the roster, then that's a different, deeper subject. No, I agree. I think that when you look at the Bryce Harper situation, you got to look at it this way. Like, would paying Bryce that money hinder bringing in better players? But to what George is saying, why not use that money on bringing in bona fide studs? You brought in Corbin. Again, Corbin's great. He's a great pitcher. But at the same time, you should bring in players that help out your weaknesses. And your weakness is the bullpen. So, I mean, I like the Nationals. I think the Nationals are a very strong team. I think they're a team that, in my opinion, they can win it all. They can definitely win it all. All right. MBS founder Joe Cardozo is joining me to talk about the Virginia Cavaliers making it to the Final Four. After the break, listen to Urban Sports saying, Fajitas, you dig? Deuces.
Defending national champions,
the 2-seed Duke Blue Devils are out.
The time is short and the road is long.
This is an opportunity for growth, and you have to use
it. You don't know that I love one shining moment with a passion. That's my thing. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm your host, Wally. Will T and Ray are out. Check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at footballgarbagetime.com. It's a great show. Matter of fact, I think we're doing a mock NFL draft, a collaborative one. So, yeah, check it out. Check out the website. Right now, we have my homie and founder of Nuts and Bolts Sports, Joe Cordoza. Dozo on the line. What's up, Joe? I messed your name up like you told me I would.
What's going on, man?
No,
hey, that's all right, man. All love. All love.
You know, my man. So, I mean, you know what I like? Know why I like talking to you, man? Because you're a Hoya fan. So, I'm not, before I get into Virginia, because, you know, Virginia, you know, they in the Final Four and everybody's boosted about that. Yeah. Let's talk about my Hoyas, man. Like, our Hoyas should have been in this situation.
No, I definitely agree, man. I mean, the Big East tournament was not what I expected.
It was not.
That first game, I just remember sitting there 5 or 6 minutes in like, what the hell is going on right now? It's not what we expected, effort-wise.
Hey, Joe, that annoyed the crap out of me. I'm like, you know why it annoys me? Because I'm watching a landscape of college basketball, and I'm like, you know what? The Hoyas got just as much talent as some of these other teams, and they're, like, doing it. Like, Wofford, to do what they were doing, like, even, I mean, I know they got eliminated, like, fairly early enough, but, like, the Hoyas have just as much talent as them, and they're giving teams fits.
Yeah, the Hoyas just super inconsistent, man. It was up and down. It was a roller coaster all season. I mean, it was one of those situations where games you thought they were going to lose, they'd win. Games thought they were going to win. They struggled to beat those teams. You just got to be consistent. But the future's bright. A lot of good young players in that squad.
It is, though. I totally agree. So before we talk about Virginia going to the Final Four, let our listeners know about your podcast and actually Nuts and Bolts.
Well, Nuts and Bolts is a 5-year-old website, and we just cover. I mean, we cover everything, man. I mean, if it's a sport, we cover it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty the best way I can describe it. Got writers all across the country, and then like you mentioned, we have the MBS mm-hmm. Sports Hour podcast. Me and Patrick Warren run that ourselves, and also I kind of bit off on another piece this year doing Buckets and Dimes, which is an NBA podcast that me and one of my friends up here in Maryland do as well weekly.
Awesome.
So if it's sports, we're on it, man.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. So I love to hear. So how did you do a bracket? How'd your bracket look out? Look.
No comment, man. Let's just say the Duke thing broke it.
Hey, Joe, I'm the same way. We did a group bracket here, and it looks like trash. Duke broke it. Tennessee broke it. You know, that kid Edwards broke everything. So, obviously, like, our bracket is all jacked up, you know. I mean, I
forgot about Tennessee. I forgot about that one. Bring back, that's a fresh wound,
that
was, man.
That hurt my feelings, man. Tennessee hurt my feelings. Like, dude, I thought they had that game. Man, you know what? I'm not even talking about the term. I had to put in 20, and I lost my 20. It's all good. It's all good. I'm over it. So, all right, in the Final Four, the Virginia Cavaliers have Auburn on Saturday, and Texas Tech is taking on Michigan State. Are the Cavs, to you, the favorites to win it all within the four teams?
For me, now that we're down to the Final Four, I got to say the team that I think has the best chance to win it, after what I saw from Michigan State, they can do whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not doubting Tom Izzo. Uh-huh. Whether he wants to yell, almost hit players, it is what it is.
Yeah. Did you have a problem with Izzo about the, like, I don't want to say he's about to hit the dude, but you have an issue with that interaction with the player? A lot of people did.
Nah, I mean, that reminded me of my father on a Saturday.
Yeah, like, when did we become a soft society?
Yeah, exactly.
I play ball, I coach kids, and I'm looking at it like, he didn't hit the kid. He didn't, I mean, he was aggressively yelling at the kid, and the kid's a freaking, he's basically close to being an adult anyway, right? You're going to hear worse than in the real world anyway. But he didn't put his hands on him, didn't like yoke him up or anything like that. And then people out here like highly upset, like he smacked the kid or threw a chair at him like he's Bobby Knight.
I was going to say, Bobby Knight wouldn't last a day. He'd be a coach for a week.
Exactly. And I love Bobby Knight. Again, people are soft. I love Bobby Knight, but I'm just saying, like, it's not like, you know, he was Bobby Knight. You know what I mean? He was aggressive to the kid. I'm having an issue with this whole, with society in general, with everything. People are just too damn soft.
When you sign up the type of Tom Izzo, you know what you're getting yourself into, man. Those kids aren't dumb.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you have no idea. So why do you think Michigan State's the favorite? Is it because of Izzo, or is it some of the players? Is it Cassius? Like, why do you think?
I would say it's because of the players and Izzo. I mean, they got a lot of links. They have mm-hmm. a lot of beef down low. I mean, mm-hmm. they can definitely kill you on the boards. And then also when you add in the guard play they've had so far, because we all know, if you really watch college basketball,
when it comes to March Madness, it's all about guard play. The guard play is going to win, or they're going to lose for you. And their guard play has been outstanding so far in this tournament, for sure.
So, are you impressed with Texas Tech? Because they play defense, man. They strap.
Yeah, I am. Because, I mean, we all talk about how nowadays basketball's changed, all about the three-point shot. Even your big men are out there shooting threes. Mm-hmm. To have a team that's kind of a throwback that plays that lockdown, and they remind me a little bit of that Nolan Richardson Arkansas Razorback team.
I love it, man. Yeah.
Where they just lock you down, mm-hmm. and they're getting you short.
No, I'm with you. I mean, I love that style of play. I love when people strap. I'm a Hoyer fan, man. You know, defense is everything to me. Defense is everything to me. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now, I have founder of Nuts and Bolts Sports, Joe Cordoza, on the line. So, Joe, so what does Virginia, in your opinion, if Virginia was to beat, say, a Michigan State, what would they need? Like, what would need to happen?
Well, you're going to have a big game from Kyle Guy, and you're also going to have a big game from Ty Jerome. I mean, those two guys in the backcourt kind of set the pace for Virginia mm-hmm. all season long. Those two guys have to have out-of-body experiences as far as being consistent. I mean, we know we saw Guy go down with that ankle injury. Mm-hmm. We weren't sure what was going to happen. Came back in the second half and had everybody thinking there was no ankle injury at all. So those two guys are the key for Virginia. They have to have great games.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, how can our listeners catch you on the social media? And also, again, tell my listeners more about your show.
Well, you can follow us on social media at Nuts and Bolts SP as far as Twitter goes.
Mm-hmm.
Website would be the www.nutsandboltsports.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then for our podcast, I mean, we're everywhere. I mean, you think of a platform, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, you just search Nuts and Bolts Sports. We'll pop up there.
Hey, Joe, man, thanks for being on, man. Hope to have you on again, man.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me. Y'all have a good night, man.
All right. Have a great one.
All right.
Again, that's my man, Joe Cordoza. Make sure you check out Nuts and Bolts Sports. Also, you know, check him out on Twitter. Joe is awesome, man. We talk about the Hoyas a lot. Like, we Georgetown fans, man, so we talk about them a lot. Much appreciated, though. But it's time for a break. Should the Skins trade their first round pick to get Josh Rosen? Adam from Burgundy and Gold Report will join me after the break. Get listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Doses. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, and I'm your only host tonight. Will T and Ray, they left me. I'm by myself. But I had a bunch of guests, and they all been like looking out, and I appreciate everybody. I really do. All right. So we got a newbie on the line on the show. Right now we have Adam from Burgundy and Gold Report. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, how's it going tonight, Wally? Thanks for having me on.
Oh, not a problem. This is great to have you on. We've had great discussions on Twitter, so I had to give you on. I had to get you on.
Like, thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
All right, definitely. So before we talk, you know, we talk about the Skins and Josh Rosen and some of the first quarterbacks that could be picked in the first round. Let our listeners know about the Burgundy and Gold Report and your platform on social media.
Yeah, so I started it about 2 years now, but I really went full in probably over the last 4 years. We've seen the readers definitely have been responding to especially the draft coverage. We've seen and definitely a spike in interest, especially when it comes to the quarterbacks, which is no surprise. I started the Burgundy and Gold Report mainly. I'm a diehard Redskins fan. Mm-hmm. I'm born in Washington D.C. Grew up in Kensington and Silver Spring, Maryland. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to start something for real diehard fans, and it's kind of morphed into just more draft coverage. I've just been involved with a lot of people. I'm in the Scouting Academy, Dan Hatman. Deal with a lot of good people that have really helped me craft my film watching, and honestly, it's ongoing. But it's a very exciting time right now because the draft right now, we're going to see all-time ratings. A lot of people are predicting we're going to see better ratings than the NBA championship.
Oh, wow.
You know, pretty much everything with this draft. So it's really exciting, especially when it comes to the quarterbacks. And, you know, it's fun to, talk about this guy and that guy. But when it comes down to it, it's really a crapshoot. Uh-huh. And, someone like myself, I just rely on the tape and just really excited to get my thoughts out there to the readers and, from a diehard perspective, which is my main goal. But when it comes to it, I love the Redskins. But, I will not put a player to the Redskins if I don't believe in them. A lot of people you'll see will, have a favorite quarterback.
Of course.
I have my guys, of course. A lot of what I pride myself in is small school gems. Last year we had the Indianapolis Colts took Darius Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
I actually watched him for about 2 years.
Yeah.
And coming into the draft about 2 months prior to that, I think most people had him a fifth, sixth round. I was hyping that guy for a long time because I saw the talent and, just breaking down the film. If you dedicate yourself, you really can find how they can translate to the NFL. So it's definitely going to be an exciting time. I love the prospects this year. I'm really excited about it.
So you know what? I'm going to ask you a question later on about some diamonds in the rough because now you definitely intrigued me. And one thing, you're great at what you do. Listening to you
Thank
in terms
you
of
much.
Tweeting back and forth with you, you definitely a guy that knows your stuff. I definitely respect that about you. All right, so the Redskins are having Drew Lock, Missouri quarterback who played for Missouri last year. Drew Lock come to Redskins Park. The Skins have been linked to him. Also, the Skins have been linked to a possible trade for Josh Rosen. Rather than using their first round pick on a quarterback, are they better off trading their first round pick for a quarterback like Josh Rosen? Or for Josh Rosen, excuse me.
I'll tell you, I watched a ton of UCLA film, and I watched almost all the games from last year. Not impressive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the offensive line. But fans who really are interested in Josh Rosen, I urge you, check out the October 28th game versus Arizona versus San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Josh Rosen can do. They were down 15-3 in the fourth quarter. He had two crucial drives where he marched downfield, and the final drive was, under 35 seconds, he hit Christian Kirk for a touchdown,
yeah.
Then hit Larry Fitzgerald for the two-point conversion to win. This guy's got it. And honestly, I was on the fence, but I think after what I saw and went back to UCLA again, I would trade our first-round pick for him.
Oh, wow.
Because if we put him right now, I would have him as QB2. A lot of people, I like Murray, don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Haskins is a good match for the Redskins right now.
That's
fair. I don't think his skill set is translating. Because I think you saw last year a lot of the integration of the RPO, play action. Play action, actually, not enough. Actually, it looked like it, but there was more RPO. And I just don't think he would best do what we're doing. And a lot of people think that about Rosen, but honestly, I've looked at him. He sells the play action better than probably any quarterback I've seen over the last 5 years coming out of college.
Yeah.
So right now, I would have Drew Lock number one.
Oh, wow.
And I actually would have him number two. So if we went to the draft and say the 15th pick, there's no way we're going to get one of those at 15.
Yeah.
So I'd say if Arizona is willing, because from what I understand, they turned down the Giants' second-round pick already. So right now, from what I believe, I think it's a two-team race between us and New York. And if there, it's all about Snyder.
Yeah.
Because I see Snyder's, I see his stamp on this year. You know, if
yeah.
people like it or not. That Landon Collins, sign, that was not a Bruce Allen sign.
Oh, I agree.
That was Snyder going to get him. So I think if we see a trade for Josh Rosen, I definitely think that Snyder is behind it. But it's an option.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be tricky because we have some really good defensive prospects in this draft, and I'm with everybody that believes the offense needs to be solidified. But our offense has a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Our defense, I can see honestly two to, you know, adding a free safety and edge. I think that can get us to a 9-10-1 team.
Yeah.
So, you know, with it, with AP, you know, hopefully guys can get back to what he was, and, you know, sprinkling Chris Thompson. You know, this team can, they're not as bad as people say they are. So a 15th overall pick for Rosen, I would pull the trigger. You know, I'd ask for a fourth, you know, try to get our recoup, maybe our fourth round in return that we lost for a ha-ha Clint Dick.
Good. That's a good one too.
But,
that's
a, mm-hmm. you know, but I think if you look at the point system and everything in the draft, if you figure, you know, 15, you know, it's a fair deal because what's happened, Arizona's eating so much money, so that he's honestly worth more than that.
Mm.
You know, if you really want to look at the charts and everything going back to last year, he'd be worth a first and second round pick because he's only going to come in at a $6.5 million salary for his remaining 3 years or 2 years, and then we also have the fifth-year option. That's worth it. That's worth it for a competent quarterback. But the question is, you know, he's a high IQ player. I just, my questions about it is him and Jay Gruden.
Yeah.
But I think what fans need to realize is if we don't make the playoffs, Jay is gone. I think my take is O'Connell is going to be the next head coach of this team.
I could definitely see that. I want to talk about Drew Lock a little bit more after the break. You listen to Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Deuces. Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with me, Wally. I'm your host. Ray Jeezy and Will T are out. You know, I'm really kind of upset at that. Like, this is supposed to be a main show, Final Four. We talking skins and whatnot. So I had to bring my man Adam from Burgundy and Gold Report to join me. So Adam, I want to talk about Drew Lock. I mentioned that before the break. So you said Drew Lock is your number one quarterback. Explain why. What makes Drew Lock better than Haskins and Murray?
I think Murray is a good quarterback. He has the it factor as well. I don't see that in Haskins, and maybe it's just because of 1 year. I'm just mm-hmm. one of those guys. I want to see more than 1 year production. And granted, Murray did it, but Murray is one of those freak kind of players.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson is definitely, I'm not big on comps at all, but it's a good one.
Oh,
wow. But Locke has it. I just see it. He has the it factor. What he did, everyone is focused on the 2018 film, which is very good. But what people need to do is they need to look at the 2017 film.
Mm-hmm.
People were actually predicting him to be a top three quarterback. If he came out that year, he would have probably gone before Sam Darnold to the Jets.
Wow. Do you think?
Yeah.
They love Darnold. I'm not a big Darnold fan. I was never a big Darnold fan. But they hyped him so hard though. But that's interesting. That's interesting.
I think a lot of people got on him for the decision, but honestly, with the QB needy teams, this draft is getting a lot of slack about how it's, you know, a weak draft.
Yeah.
But you're going to see all three quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10. There's no doubt. No, but I understand what Redskins hope, but it's not going to happen because even you have teams later on that are going to, there's going to be a surprise team that jumps up. You have Denver, you have Miami, you have the team. Jacksonville, everyone thinks, oh, they got Nick Foles, they're done. Not necessarily. I would not be surprised if you saw Locke or someone go there because they're building. You know, they're not like all of us, okay, we're a playoff team. So a lot of teams are looking at, you know, when you have that fifth-year option for a quarterback, that's big.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's going to be some great defensive players on the board. So, you know, some teams are going to reach. You know, some team is definitely going to reach on Haskins. And, you know, unfortunately, I think you're going to see a team even reach on Daniel Jones. And I'm not
I think so, too.
Yeah, somebody's going to reach on him in the top 20. And Locke, to me, if before Flacco went to Denver, I would have said that's an Elway guy right there because, you know, in that climate over there, and, you know, he's got the perfect arm for it. And they could still do it, but I wouldn't. Right now, I see him going to Miami. That's where I see him falling.
Oh, wow.
I think they're going to trade up. And nobody is going to, other than Arizona taking Murray, which I've heard it was a done deal over a month ago.
Mm.
It's been done. You know, that's it. You're going to see Haskins and Locke. Some teams are going to trade up. They could even go in the top eight. You know, what's going to happen is that's going to cause a free fall. And similar to John Allen dropping to us, this is actually going to be, it could be potentially bigger. You know, there's going to be edge rushers like Florida State's Burns. He's one of my favorite in the whole draft. He's not getting as much love as he should. But back to Locke. When it comes to Locke, he's the kind of guy people need to understand. They're like, okay, well, someone needs to sit for a year. Mm-hmm. Well, in Washington, we have Case Keenum and Colt McCoy right now. Alex Smith, he's not coming back. That's just my opinion. I think he's done. So that's who we have. So we can give Colt the job, let him compete with they say whatever. He's not going to last long. And Case Keenum, he's a competent quarterback. He can make throws, but just the way things have gone with Washington, unfortunately, and their lackadaisical practices and the way they prep, he's been an Iron Man for his career, but that doesn't mean he's going to be an Iron Man with
NBC,
us.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever we draft, even if we go into the second, third round, which I think we have to go one, two, or three, we have to grab a quarterback. I don't think we can go fifth round developmental. I think you're looking at even third round for developmental, but if we don't somehow get Locke, my next Will Greer is. I really like this kid.
So you like
I
Will
really
Greer
like him a lot.
Oh,
I really like.
Okay.
Him. He has that Baker Mayfield swagger, and honestly, I'm not going to take credit for it. There was a lot of fans, but again, go back to Twitter about a month before the draft. Just like I had with Darius Leonard, people like Mayfield, second, third quarterback. No, this guy belongs number one. He's got the it factor, and. I would call Greer a poor man's Baker Mayfield because, you know, he's got the factor, but he's got a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But he would fit perfect in Washington as a second rounder because they ran a shotgun offense and he was constantly asked to run the RPOs and quick strikes. That's what they're doing. That's what we're doing right now is we're getting the ball out of the, you know, quarterback hand quick. And I think we're going to see that even quicker this year with O'Connell giving a little more leverage right now. You saw his stamp with the RPO last year. That was not Jay Gruden at all. That was Kevin O'Connell. Kevin O'Connell ran a lot of, you know, those little concepts through high school. I'm not positive about you if he did it when he was in UCF. But I think you're going to see a lot more of that, a lot more quick strikes, you know, because it's a mess right now. And granted, you know, we hang our hat on, you know, Trent Williams and Brandon Sheriff. But Moses, that guy is playing on borrowed time right now. I agree. You know, first round might be a guard. You know, it could be because there's value. You know, there's going to be value at 15. But, you know, I hear a lot of people about the trade back. And if you look at the sheet, if we trade back 5-6 picks, we're only looking at a late third rounder. So the value is not really there. Mm-hmm. If we're going to trade, it's got to be all the way to the back end of the first round. And you're going to miss out. We're going to miss out on a lot of prospects if we do that. So I don't know if trading back, I think sitting tight might be the best way, and then maybe in the second round, if we want to trade up a couple spots, you know, we could be relatively cheap to assure that we get someone like Greer. But
we definitely have options. I don't think they need to overspend anything like that. I think Rosen will always be an option, but I just get this feeling that they'll be willing to hold on to him. I think if they don't get what they want, I think if they get a first, if Red Sox offer a first, I think they'll come back and say, well, give us a first and a third. So honestly, in the end, I think Arizona will probably keep him for a little bit
too.
Because, you know, with that low salary, with everything, it doesn't hurt them. So in the end, I think that they'll probably keep him unless the Giants go extra aggressive. I don't know if the Redskins will be so aggressive because I think they do like other prospects. And, you know, Allen thinks he's, you know, some kind of genius and with the war, you know, and his insight is so influential. And if they just let Kyle Smith run things and be the general manager of our team, we'd be in great shape right now. But, you know, that's not going to happen as well as when Allen's here. So we can just hope that they don't choose the wrong quarterback because Doug Williams, I hear, really likes Daniel Jones.
I think a lot of people do.
It's smokescreen season, and I just don't see it. You know, I think if you take away David Cutliffe, who coached Eli Manning and coached Daniel Jones at Duke, that's going to take away a lot of the intrigue with him because, you know, he's horrible under pressure. You know, too many balls are just, like, lofted up in the air. He's going to get destroyed in the NFL. You know, he can run around all he wants, but he thinks he's fast, but in Montez Sweat, I think it was a 4.51 or 4.54.
Yeah.
So he's going to have outside pass rushers and edges faster than him. So that athleticism is not going to buy him success in the NFL.
No.
So, you know, I really hope that, you know, we can somehow, you know, land Lockett. If we can do that, Dreher would be my next guy after that.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. I'm rapping with Adam from Burgundy and Gold Report. So, ideally, what is your ideal play at 15? Would you just want to get a quarterback, or would you prefer? I know we talked before, and we were both talking about we would prefer getting a non-quarterback, like getting a guard or whatnot, or getting an edge rusher. What is your ideal situation?
Edge rusher. If Burns can slip to us, that's my ideal selection. Because if you look at the way our line is set up right now, you know, as I previously wrote about the Tide blueprint, you know, that is probably the one thing that Washington has done well during the Snyder era, because I really like what they're doing. They're putting defensive players together with John Allen, with Payne. You know, let's hope, you know, we find out about Reuben Foster soon. You know, he's going to get suspended. He's going to get, my guess is in the end, he'll get 2 to 3 games.
I think I'm with that.
Once we can get those going, you have Kerrigan on the other side. Anderson is good at setting the edge as a edge rusher, but he's not a pass rusher. I think Burns is getting a lot of slack because he's looked at as a one-trick pony, but he was really good at stopping the run. He's really strong. He's got a lot of room to put muscle on. That guy would be the ultimate beast for us. And, you know, if we can't land Burns or a quarterback, I like the safeties. I think, on the other hand, where I said it can complement Kerrigan, I think Landon, from what I hear from all the Giants beat reporters, that Landon Collins is very good, but he's only going to be as good as the free safety next year.
Agreed.
And if we can somehow pull off, you know, Nasir Adderley, that's my guy. That's my favorite safety in the draft out of Delaware. Him or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I believe, from Florida. Those are my two guys.
Mm-hmm.
If we can, between those two, Burns or Locke, I guess those are my main choices, because other than that, you know, we could have defensive linemen fall to us, but all the pass rushers, Allen, you know, of course, Bosa, they're going to be gone.
Yeah.
So guard could definitely be an option for them. You know, there's definitely some options. I'm just not as high as, you know, we have Trent Williams the first round. We have Brandon Scherff for first round. And I think we're going to have a lot of money locked up into that. And I think we have a Dalton Risner, who's a really good guard out of Kansas State. He can play every position except left tackle. I think we could get, you know, we could possibly get him later. So that's where the trade back scenario goes. If we can somehow gain some extra third and fourth round picks, that's ammunition to move up in any round and, you know, solidify our offensive line and, you know, our back seven, so we can, you know, Collins can have some help back there.
See, how do you grade the kid out of Oklahoma, Ford? How do you grade him? Cody Ford.
I have him as my number one. I think he would be awesome. Not number one overall.
Yeah, but guard.
I think on my Redskins, I have my Redskins big board, and I have him on my, you know, my best offensive lineman on the big board, because I think, you know, he's already got a relationship with Trent Williams. They already know each other. Trent Williams is there every year. You know, they're not. I'm not here about any, you know, relationship with them, but I think, you know, between AP, him, and Ford, you know they'd be training in the offseason because the whole offensive line. So that wouldn't be a bad pick. I would definitely be okay with that. But I don't know. I feel that we can get, like I said, like a Dalton Risner, somebody else later in the draft, you know, Ohio State, two of them, you know, there's some really good prospects. You know, you can get some starting guards in the third round, and we have two third rounds. So honestly, as much as we need a guard, I think we should wait till the third round. And a lot of people are saying tight end receiver in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't think we should do that.
I agree.
I see the love with the DK Metcalf and thing, but I think people are forgetting about the 2017 ankle injury and then the neck injury in 18 that people actually thought he might not play again for a little bit. That scares me. And I like his size. I like his speed, but I don't get, you know, it's like a flashy car. You know what I mean? It's like, it's really nice, you know, whatever. And you get in it and it's just, it's not what you thought it was. So, you know, one thing I heard Cooley say today is he thinks a tight end would even be better than a receiver. Like if Hockenson somehow slipped to us, he'd be the only tight end I would take at 15 because he would come in, he would be our number one blocker, and, you know, he would give us a luxury to, you know, flex out Reed. They haven't been able to do that because they can't block. If they have a true blocking tight end that can be a receiving threat, then you can flex Reed out. You can put him in the slot. You can do whatever. The key is he can't stay healthy. So, you know, I don't want to put any more stock on him. And if we can get, you know, in this, you know, I have Dax Raymond from Utah State. That's one of my late round gems for a tight end that I really love. There's a kid out of West Virginia. So this draft may not be the best overall first round draft we've had in the last 5 years, but as far as round one through three, even four, you can find starters in all those rounds. So to me, this is a very good draft, and Redskins fans should be really excited for what's to come.
You know, when I see Metcalf, who I think of Devin Thomas. That's who I think of.
A bigger version of Devin Thomas. That's who I think of.
I mean, good kid, put on a good show in the combine. I wish the best for him, but that's what I see. I'm all for production. The way I look at the combine is that it has to match. If you're going to partake in the combine, it has to match your on-field production in college, like what you did on Saturdays. If it doesn't match, then it's a problem to me. Like, that's a problem.
In DK's defense, that, you know, the quarterback play is pretty bad. You know, he had some really good, you know, Brown and Lodge next to him. So he had some really good receivers next to him. But I still agree with you, because if he's that dominant, he should have been doing more anytime he got the ball in his hands. Like, a lot of times, you know, he's so big and people talk about his strength. I wasn't seeing him, like, run over people. He wasn't fucking people. So if everyone is, you know, they're posting up, you know, how big he is and has athletic ability, I get it. But in the top 20 pick, no thanks. I'd rather get a, you know, I think Redskins have tried that with Dotson, and I think I like Cam Sims personally. I think Cam Sims can be really good for us. I think we need that burner. We need that D-Jax burner.
I've been preaching for that.
I see it in Hollywood. You know, I love Hollywood Brown, you know, out of Oklahoma. I think he would be a really good, you know, addition. And then you go later around, you have Terry McLaurin from Ohio State, and another speedster. So, this, like I said, one through three, I'm really glad we have four picks. Except if we can trade back a little bit, not in the first round. I want to say Pat in the first round, but maybe somewhere, you know, between the second and third round, if we can trade back, get, you know, an extra fourth maybe, that would be really big this year, because, like I said, I really think we could solidify left guard, edge, free safety, tight end, receiver. I think that, and then, of course, the quarterback, how could I forget? But I think we can really solidify those positions. And, you know, free agency, for one, I think Redskins did the right thing, because I did not like this free agent class. I think everybody was overpaid. I think Collins wasn't. I think Collins, they did just right with him. But I don't think we missed out on anybody. So, you know, this draft is a way to build. And no matter what Allen tells us, this team is not, maybe they're close to the playoffs. But as far as contender, this is not the 1991 when, you know, you'll get there on your running game and your defense. You can get to the playoffs that way. But you're not going to get to the Super Bowl and win it unless you have competent quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
We have not had that in a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's not just about competent quarterbacks. Like, this is time we actually we start to develop a backup. You know, and I was telling you in the break, you know, I like Tyree Jackson, you know. That's my guy out of Buffalo. Like, he is a developmental prospect. But that's not to say that, you know, he couldn't be a starter. But even better, he'd be a prime time backup. He'd be probably, after a couple of years of even sitting on the bench with spot play, I assure you, if Mike Glennon is getting $13 million a year as a backup for not playing by Chicago.
Yeah.
Tyree Jackson with 4.51 speed and a cannon arm will get at least that. And what people need to understand is within a couple of years, we're going to be talking about $20 million for backup quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah,
so they're
going
to be gold.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year to, this is the year to start grooming these guys. This is the year. If it's not Tyree Jackson, you know, look in the later rounds, you know, Stidham could be available, Brett Rypien, you know, Clayton Thorson. There's options, but ideally, Locker, Rosen, Lock, or Greer would be the best situation. Lock would be my number one choice, though.
You heard it. Lock's his number one choice, and Rosen, and also Greer. Greer's moving up. So, Adam, before I let you go, again, please let our listeners know how they can catch you on social media and your current blog post, what you got going on. I appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm on the Burgundy and Gold Report. WordPress.com. You can follow me on Twitter at the BNG Report. We're actually really excited for, if you've seen the hashtag on Twitter, the hashtag Boots on the Ground Tour. We're going to have Dana Sparkman, who's at Dana for the number 4, BAMA. She's going to be live tweeting, representing the BNG Report at the draft.
Awesome.
So we're really excited. We're going to be having live tweets. We're going to have pictures of the prospects. So as much as, you know, she loves Alabama, she's a diehard Alabama fan, but she's just a big Redskins fan, she's going to be not just one day, just not 2 days, she's going to be there every single day, she's going to be there for every moment, and we're really excited that, you know, it's really, everything is moving really fast for the Burgundy and Gold Report, and we're really happy that we're going to have Dana down there representing us and live tweeting. So on Twitter, again, follow me at the BNG Report, you'll find the link for the Burgundy and Gold Report. WordPress.com on there. And again, just continue to follow us all the way through the draft through April 27th through the weekend. It's going to be an exciting time.
First, Alabama and Redskins Nation is the same thing now. It's the same thing now.
Well, that's what I say. It's roll skin, hashtag roll skin, hashtag roll tide.
Definitely.
I saw hashtag Bama skin.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I like hashtag roll skin.
I like that. I like that one. I like that one a lot. And Adam, thanks again for being on. I appreciate you, my man.
Thank you so much, Wally. HTTR, bro.
HTTR, my man.
My man.
All right. Again, that is cool, Adam. Adam. He is from Burgundy and Gold Report. He's an awesome guy. Again, catch him on Twitter. We tweet about skin stuff all the time. And you know what I like about Adam is that Adam, you know, he has his opinions, but it's not like a negative thing if you have something against his opinion or you're opposing opinions or whatnot. It's not like a disrespectful feud. It's actually two individuals having a good dialogue about why they think one is better than the other or why this is going on. So I love talking to people like that. But I appreciate y'all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Hopefully, Will T and Ray will be back. Hopefully. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for Aegis. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mecca, lead us out, big homie. Peace.